Hello! And welcome to episode 2 of Real Gambling Review, the podcast by the people who've been in the bookies and on the racetrack and online, mainline in gambling. And it's a bonus extravaganza from Modern Media Review. I'm Robin Gibson.
And I'm Sean Gulligly.
And we're going to be talking about gambling.
Which we both enjoy.
Until the fun stops.
Yeah.
In big letters.
Yeah.
Which will probably be in about 20 minutes.
Which is good, really, because as we're a review podcast, Responsible Betting Week has just finished.
Responsible Gambling Week. I was quite responsible during it. All stakes, I kept them to 20p maximum stake.
Yeah, I've got two problems with this, Robin. And for me, betting does tend to be a bit of an adrenaline rush for me. And 20p, the stakes aren't high enough for that.
Well, as long as it's not an anti-post bet, you can still get a thrill in a dog race for 20p, can't you?
Except when
20p for 30 seconds. Well worth it.
Well, except that when you win with your 20p, you wish it was 20 quid.
True, yeah, but I have been responsible. I was at the Breeders' Cup. I was so responsible, I tried to place a $1 win place and show bet. I forgot it's a $2 minimum. I did argue with the guy and say, look, I'm trying to be responsible. You give me a $3 bet, but he forced me to bet $6. How can you win with that kind of approach from the bookmakers?
However, I think it wasn't...
Not bookmakers in America, admittedly.
I think it was a lose-win situation, wasn't it, for you? Because didn't it come in that exactor?
Not that one. It wasn't an exactor. Win, place and show.
Oh, sorry, mate.
Yeah, no, one of the exacts has come in. But we're not here to after time about
no.
Big wins at the Breeders' Cup, which was ages ago.
Well, hold on a second. I've got one more point on Responsible Gambling Week.
So have I.
Well, for me, isn't that a bit like Crisis at Christmas, where you put your pound into the pot and some poor homeless person gets food for one day around Christmas and then makes you feel a lot better about yourself as you're tucking into your... Well, not you. You wouldn't be tucking into turkey and ham
not
for
me, no.
The next 3 days.
No.
But that salves your conscience, makes you feel a better
well, a
person.
A pound salves your conscience.
Well, basically.
How does Responsible Gambling Week salve your conscience?
Well, because, for instance, you could do your 20p bets and go, oh, that's all well and good, and I'm now contributing to this $10 million pound that the gaming council have put into this to help
have
problem
they?
Gamblers.
10 million quid.
Yeah. Mm. But the other thing is Responsible Gambling Week. What about the other 51?
Well, that's my point. I mean, anyway, I've always found responsible gambling a bit wrong. It just doesn't square with standing there shouting, come on, you bastard, at a horse. Oh, not a horse, at a jockey. I wouldn't never say that to a horse. But, you know, I do put all my bets in a spreadsheet and cut back in the vegan mayonnaise to chastise myself if I've got a losing run.
Well, I guess also if you were shouting, come on, you bastard, at a horse, it wouldn't...
I don't do that.
Well, it wouldn't have that much effect because they're all bastards.
Yeah, they don't know anything.
They're all born out of wedlock.
They don't know. I have had a few messages over the past week from my bookmakers about Responsible Gambling Week. They've got a little message on one of the sites saying, view gambling as a form of entertainment and not a source of income. Well, of course, they don't want to become your source of income. They want you to be their source of income.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's just...
Well, at least for 51 weeks of the year.
Well, you know, it's just... I think it's a bit half-hearted. And if only half their heart is in it, where's their other half? It's still driving you on with
special offers and in-play. Well, I think it's even worse than only half-hearted. It's 1/52nd of their heart, isn't it?
Yeah.
For 1 week. Yeah. Like Crisis at Christmas, they can say, oh, look, we're doing a good thing. Here's the other thing. Well, just made me laugh because the Betting and Gaming Council, they've put out these safer gambling commitments and they're talking about FOBTs in particular, which caused a lot of angst and worry amongst people blowing all their drug money whilst they were cleaning it in London.
Good for drug dealers. You put in 10 grand, get 9 grand back, get a little receipt, it's all come out the William Mill coffers.
Clean money.
It's clean money, yeah.
But for the people that were struggling, they said they're going to bring up on-screen alerts, which will also alert the cashiers to what they're up to. And they might they might create cool-out zones where you can go and cool out. And, you know, usually a cool-out zone for a lot of people who've taken a bad couple of hits is to go to the pub next door, have a couple of cool lagers, and then crack on again.
That is more likely, but the thing is, it's all very disingenuous. I remember some time ago there was a new Betfred, I think, opened in Clapham, and I went in. I always like to go into new betting shops to have a look. So I went in, and I went in to have a bet on a race, actually, which did win. which is good because it set me up for my parting line. I went in and there was quite a lot of guys in there watching the race, and so I sat down in one of those tall, comfy, swivelly seats they have at the machines.
Dangerous.
The roulette machines.
Dangerous.
The guy came out from behind the counter and said, "You can't sit here. These seats are only for the machines." But no one else was playing the machines. He still wouldn't let me sit on it.
Oh.
As he was telling me, I looked over his shoulder. My horse came in and I said, "It's all right, I'm leaving, I'll just come and pick the money up and go." And he had to go back and pay me out. But they're obsessed with these machines and these shops.
Well, that reminded me just now of a particular bugbear of yours, which is reserving seats in pubs.
Shocking, isn't it? My old local in Brixton actually has a thing on its website saying you don't need to book if you're coming in for a pint. But there's a lot more people in London now than 2 million more people in the last 30 years.
Really?
Yeah. I looked it up. Well, there's not 2 million more pub seats, are there?
There are, no.
Anyway, to get back to the responsible or irresponsible gambling, we should probably recap in episode one, because we put up a couple of, well, you put up a couple of people on Strictly who appear to still be in the Strictly running,
they are,
dancing.
They are still in the Strictly running.
Mm-hmm.
I will put a little caveat on the bet, is that...
Well, who were they? They were Michelle Visage.
Yep.
And... someone else with a pretty good name.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, you're right. It was Michelle Visage and Saffron Barker.
See, now looking at the prices, I think all we've got going for them is the name, because there's still one's still 25-1 and one's still 16-1.
Yes, Robin, and you know we are quite price sensitive, the pair of us, and we were coming in when we had more runners in the field, which is quite strange. And we've had a minor drift, but it's not all bad, because if you look along, say, Michelle Visage, you can still back her, say, with Paddy Power or Betfair at 12-1. But yeah, with Hills, she's 25s.
Okay.
So obviously I'd be backing her now again. I'm going to press up with a bit of the 12s.
Yeah.
Because she'll have a better chance of winning.
Better chance. I think we covered that philosophy.
We did. And then Saffron the same. Saffron's drifted out to 18. She was as short as 12s.
Why is that? You've been watching her.
I have been watching her. And they've both been dancing well. And she's as short as 11s as well with Sky Bet.
Mm.
She's still got the same partner. She hasn't gone lame. So she's still she's still a runner. And she's still dancing well.
But this guy in the front of the betting, he's going to have one of his legs fall off if he's not going to win according to the mark.
Now, you were saying that this is done and dusted. And
it looks like it, yeah.
You could always have a last fence faller, and he could fall at any stage.
Literally fall, yeah.
He could. There's no way he should be 4-7 at this stage.
So you're still saying that at these prices, these are good bets?
Absolutely.
25s and
16s. And we had them each way anyway, which
did
is all
we?
Good.
Okay. Yeah. Right, good. That's good, yeah.
You know, we're still looking good, and I'm happy with them. I wouldn't change.
Okay.
I wouldn't cash out.
All right. Well, I might wait for a while before I go in.
Yeah.
And then the other recap is wasn't such a great bit of advice, but it's a future kind of philosophy, this opposing our growth.
Well, luckily about that.
We did win a couple of games after that, but the whole point was that, you know, they're going to get tired, being bin men and what have you, playing football in their spare time, they're just going to get tired out as the season goes on, so keep faith with taking them on.
We will do. And if you're living in the Arbroath area, presumably overload your bins.
Yes, yes.
Just to help the bet, you know.
Mix up your recycling in the wrong bins.
Really?
Put the green stuff in the blue one and the blue stuff in the green one. He's going to get
pissed off.
Knackered and discombobulated.
Absolutely. The other thing I was going to say.
You can't influence the market, really, if you've got a lot of refuse and live in Arbroath, can't you? Let's skip Arbroath, but football, you did mention the championship last time.
The championship is a favourite division of mine, mainly because I'm a QPR fan and we seem to spend most of our years playing in it.
Mm.
And it always strikes me as it's the most competitive betting division.
Well, they're very spread out here, the odds on QPR to be promoted. I mean, one...
Never going to happen.
Skybet's got them at 12s, but Bet365's got them at 25s.
Well, I think Bet365 would be where I would be.
Well, they're the outliers. Well, everyone else is around the 14s, 12s.
Well, I think...
Should we back QPR to be promoted?
No. Now, here's how...
That was just a flippant remark. I'm not going to be backing QPR to
be
promoted.
But just for the point of how competitive the championship is, we've had maybe 4 changes in leadership over the last couple of weeks. And QPR, when they were playing Brentford in the big Sky match about a month ago, Monday night game, if they'd won that, they'd have gone second. They're about mid-division now.
Mm.
And that's, what, 3-4 games later? 4 games later.
Yeah.
So Leeds at
You can move up and down very quickly, is that what you're saying?
Yes.
See, this worries me about something someone once said to me about you don't want to be a table punter, which struck, you brought up a great image of someone punting at a table, but it's not that. It's people who punt or bet based on the team's position at the table without... pardon me, without taking any account of who they've played, who they've got to play. QPR are only just off the playoff places here.
4 points.
Yeah.
But, yeah, as I said, 4 games ago, we could have gone second. We are 16...
what are you saying here?
We are 16 games in.
It's too complicated. I look at all these teams. Too many of them have got a chance.
It is difficult, but we're 16 games in, Robin, and that's over a third of the season. Mm. You are pretty much where you're supposed to be, and I appreciate that it is still tight, especially going for the playoff places. But Fulham are a ridiculous price to get promoted.
11-8 Fulham are to be promoted.
Which is too short, considering they're not even in the playoff places at the moment.
I don't really like having a bet that lasts for 6 months that's only 11-8.
Yeah, I sort of...
Especially 20p.
That reminds me of the quote from Terry Ramsden. Do you remember the infamous, I should say, gambler from the 80s?
Yeah.
And they asked him if he liked preferred betting on jumps or flat. And he said, oh, without doubt, flat. And they obviously thought they were going to get some shrewd insight into his... betting, the way he sorts out his betting. And he just said it's a quicker death.
Well, that's Terry Ramsden. Last time I saw Terry Ramsden, he was running after a boss in the King's Road, which kind of is an interesting juxtaposition. He obviously still felt in himself wealthy enough to be in the King's Road rather than down Balham Tube Station or something. But on the other hand,
he was running for a bus.
Transport except a bus.
Yeah. He wasn't jumping in the chauffeur-driven roller.
No, he didn't have that anymore. And we're getting a bit into the realms of prehistory here, Sean.
But the point is...
is there a bet in this? It all looks a bit tight to me, the championship.
I would oppose West Brom at home, and I think Preston are a team I'd always like to have onside if they're odds against.
Why are you opposing West Brom at home? That's a very specific kind of bit of advice, though.
Well, because I'm a table punter.
Oh, right, okay. The home table, yeah?
Yeah. They're unbeaten at home, but they've stacked up a load of draws already. And considering, I would imagine, off the top of my head, and this is the sort of in-depth statistical analysis I like, that they would have been odds on for every single one of those.
Okay.
You'd be losing money if you backed them
so
every
game. So you could
have
laid them.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Well, let's get on to something a bit more scientific.
Well, as you said about Terry Ramsden and the debate between...
jumps and flat.
Jumps and flat. Obviously, it's the jump season now, and I prefer the flat just aesthetically and as a sport. I find the jump season very boring and plodding and all centred around Cheltenham. But having said that, I always mock this little race, this small field race they have at Carlisle towards the beginning of every jump season, the Colin Parker Memorial. But look, I looked at it this year, Lost in Translation won it. The roll of honour for this race is quite incredible. It really does throw up future stars, even though it always looks like a four-runner race where none of them are trying. And this year's winner, Lost in Translation, is second favourite for the Betfair Chase at Haydock.
Okay.
Which Bristol Dumais is favourite for. He's won it for the last 2 years. Now, we all know Bristol Dumais is only going to win at Haydock,
yep.
Right? And something's got a bit... I mean, this is my analysis. Something's got to beat it eventually, hasn't it? And why not Lost in Translation? And also, looking at the Colin Parker roll call, Mr. Whittaker,
who won at Cheltenham
in 2018 and won a big handicap at Cheltenham.
Yeah.
He's a 20-1 shot for the Hennessy, or the Ladbrokes Trophy as it's now known. Stepping up in trip, it'll be his first run of the season. Mick Shannon camp are very positive about him. So, against my better judgment, I've actually... well, judgment's the wrong word. Against my inclination, I have actually got some opinion about the two big jump races that are coming up this month.
That's fair enough, but...
not really, it's probably a load of rubbish.
Well, you know my bugbear, and it's not so much things like the Hennessy, which...
Ladbrokes.
Which is a handicap. For me, the biggest problem all the way through to Cheltenham will be these four-runner graded races, which... I'm
like the Colin Parker.
Yeah, well, for me, I am a conspiracy...
I call it the Colin.
The Colin, I love the Colin. I am a conspiracy theorist, but I have this belief that the major trainers phone each other up and map out which graded races they're going to win on the way to Cheltenham.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that the whole season... I used to like it a lot more, but...
they're only stepping stones now. If you won a King George and you've either punted it or owned it, you'd be absolutely over the moon about that race.
Yeah.
Not about going, next question, will he go for the Gold Cup?
The King George is the best staying chase. It's on a flat track. It's about who's the fastest. The Cheltenham Gold Cup is for sloggers uphill.
Absolutely.
As I always say, they don't ask Usain Bolt to run the last 20 metres uphill, do they, to see who's the toughest? What's Absolutely. So good about running uphill? I've never enjoyed it.
Always downhill for me.
Yes, exactly.
Or walking.
There is one thing to say about the Christmas number one betting, Sean, which is that one of my favourite grime rappers, DEE, has done a game-changing ad for IKEA, or IKEA, as they insist on calling it officially.
Yeah, which I saw the other day.
I'm not sure what the song's called. Silence the Critics, that's it. And they've suddenly injected him into the betting for Christmas number one, and he's released the track as a, what now passes for a single, download, blah, blah, blah. And it's about 10-1, so it's not the worst bet ever. It's game-changing Christmas advert. There's none of this Dickensian, slushy, little boy with the Satsumas.
Ah, oh, that Sainsbury's one really gets my goat.
So DEE for Christmas number one.
Well, I'm sure, Robin, if you download it 20,000 times, you could make it.
Yeah, I've listened to it about 20 times already, so I must have put it on the way. Anyway, next time we'll go a bit further with Christmas number one.
Once yes.
Once we know whether they're doing George Michael or Wham, or which duet Robbie Williams is going to put out as a single.
Even bloody Rod Stewart's in there.
Yeah, but that's not going to happen. Christmas number one, next time. We should instead go on to another TV betting extravaganza, I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, which you pointed out starts again this week.
It does.
I've been too busy watching MasterChef to notice.
Well, I'm a Celebrity is one of these ones that I always pretend I'm not going to watch because it's just a little bit... I mean, how many times do you have to see somebody eating kangaroo bollocks?
Never.
Anyway, I was looking at the runners.
And yeah, so was I. I've never heard of most of them.
Well, I thought it was quite interesting in that I had heard of some of them.
Well, who's James Haskell?
Well, he's a rugby player.
He had rugby. I'm not interested in that, mate. It's the most boring game in the world.
Well, he's going out with Richard and Judy's daughter.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know if that makes you... Does well, that qualify you as a celebrity?
If he plays rugby...
But they've also got Caitlyn Jenner in.
Is every rugby player a celebrity?
No.
No.
But Caitlyn Jenner is a celebrity.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is a bit of a coup for them to get.
She's quite old now.
Well, there's no problem with that.
Well, you've got all these trials in the jungle, or the rainforest, as I like to call it. 70 years old. Are you going to be able to handle it all?
Well, she might be a non-runner, but I just thought it was interesting.
Well, she's a runner, but I mean...
She might be an early withdrawal then.
It's going to be tough for her.
There was like Kate Garraway, who I knew, and even you
Who's
knew...
Who's Kate Garraway?
She's a TV presenter.
What does she present?
Oh, all sorts of rubbish.
Oh, yeah,
so obviously you wouldn't watch it.
I've seen her face, yeah.
We've got Nadine Coyle, Girls nah. Aloud. It's not a bad lineup to start
it's
off with.
It's a crap lineup. I've never heard of any of them. The betting has righty, as I don't call them anymore. Is he a bit of a twat, Ian Wright?
He did a brilliant programme the other day, Out of Their Skins, about the rise of black footballers.
Oh, did he?
In British football.
Maybe he just doesn't get the right things to do most of the time.
He actually came out of it quite well, because I can't have him as a football pundit. He plays it a bit slapstick, I always think.
Yeah.
Whereas he was actually quoting Martin Luther King on this programme, which for me was...
Well, it's a bit obvious, isn't it? Anyway, he's 5-2. Then James Haskell, we've already... Oh, he's the rugby player. I'd almost forgotten who he was already. Well, I can't make head nor tail of this.
No, night. I wouldn't be betting on any of these.
No?
No.
Caitlyn Jenner seems very short for a 70-year-old. 10-1.
10-1 to...
8-1 to 17-2 in some places.
I'd say 17-2 to come out of it alive. Okay. Nadine Coyle's a big price.
What is this based on?
Nothing.
I mean, why do they think anyone's going to even have a bet on this? Surely this is the worst example of betting as voting. People are bet. It's like football fans who back their team every Saturday. The fans of these non-entities are going to back them because they want them to win.
Yeah.
It's one of the most insidious things about the sort of wide net that betting companies cast now is that they're... By having these things, they're sort of inviting people to have a bet as a vote, aren't they?
Yes.
I want them to win, not I think they're going to win.
Which is a touch ironic, as we're just coming out of Responsible Gambling Week.
Well, betting on this would be utterly irresponsible.
And yet, I probably will do it at some stage. But maybe for 20p, how's
that? This is what worries me. It's so tempting, isn't it? They've got these TV shows lined up. I'm a Celebrity. Come Dancing. X Factor. Dancing on Ice. It's just catnip for people who don't normally bet, isn't it? I hope they do limit the stakes.
Well, it depends on
who
you're
backing. Someone from Paisley ringing up with a grand for Jacqueline Jossa, do we? Because they like her in EastEnders.
It would certainly shift the market.
To be fair, that guy did know that Mr. Blobby was going to win, so It was foregone conclusion.
Well, that's the type of responsible gambling I'd like to get involved
yeah,
in.
Yeah, I think that's how we should wrap up, really. We need more foregone conclusions so we can responsibly gamble with no percentage chance of losing.
What we need to do is we need to... I'm going to phone Joe Isherwood and...
Joe Isherwood, star of... What was
Can
it?
You Beat the Bookies?
Can You Beat the Bookies, yeah, yeah. We reviewed that, didn't
And
we?
What we'll do is we'll set up a podcast and we'll live courtside with him.
Yeah, that would be good, yeah.
And that would be
Actually,
responsible.
Actually, wouldn't it be far too nerve-wracking? Anyway, on that responsible note, we'll wrap up Real Gambling Review for this week. Don't remember our tips. And we'll see you again soon with Modern Media Review as well as...
Absolutely.
And don't forget, we've got a website, modernmediareview.com, and you can hear our podcast...
Ah, across all the platforms.
All the usual platforms, iTunes or whatever it's called, Apple Podcasts, you name it, Spotify, Google, Bob's Podcasts, all the rest of it. And we'll be back soon.
Cheers
for
listening.
Yeah. Bye.